Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. And on today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to making wise decisions. You know, one of the wisest decisions you could ever make is to rid your life of fear. Mm. Just think what you could accomplish if you didn't deal with fear. Fear of failure holds people back and keeps them from maximizing their potential from success. And know this, fear doesn't come from God. 2 Timothy 1:17.
In the classic Amplified Bible.
Yes, it is. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and phoning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Mm. Here are seven quick truths found in this verse. First, fear doesn't come from God. Second, God doesn't want you timid. He doesn't want you to be a coward when it comes to expressing your godly opinions and doing what's right. And he doesn't want you cringing about the things that could go wrong. Third, God has given you a special gift, dispensation. Fourth, God has given you a spirit of power, the strength to overcome any and everything. Fifth, God always wants you acting in love. Sixth, God wants your life to be calm, not living in the tyranny of the urgent and with a well-balanced mind. And seventh, God wants you living a disciplined life by the word, exercising self-control over the temptations of the enemy. As you can see, there's much more to this verse than just overcoming fear. Scripturally speaking, there's no doubt God wants us to, he wants to bless and prosper us. You need to get a hold of that last statement. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand it, strongly recommend you start back reading Genesis 1:1 and continue through the word until you are convinced of the truth that's just been spoken from the word. As you read the word, you will discover that God is empowering each of us to make wise decisions, not only in our personal lives, but in our professional lives as well.
So here are seven keys, to making wise decisions. Number one, what does God's word say about our problems or our opportunities? Our first concern prior to making a business decision or any decision is, what does God think? You know, it's his advice that we need to covet and desire more than any other. In Judges 18:5, it said, and they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Contemporary English version of that verse says it this way. Please talk to God for us, the men said. Ask God if it will be successful in what we're trying to do. The scripture, matter of fact, it reminds me of Abraham Lincoln. He goes, the most important thing to know is not if God is on your side, but are you on God's side?
That's true.
So what is God, how is he directing you? The scriptural details, the scriptures actually detail the criteria for us finding a person with the right financial instructions every time. They equip us. Psalm 1:1-2. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, Classic Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But that's what does not happen. You don't walk with those who were ungodly, or then it's a progression here, or end up standing submissive to their walk or to their activity, nor sit down to rest with those who were not godly. It's a progression. But this is what it says in verse 2. But his, meaning our delight and desire, are in the law of the Lord, and on this his law, the precepts, the instructions, and the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Meaning that's who we walk with.
Number two, what advice are you receiving from your circle of friends and advisors? Now, this may seem like a conflicting people after our discussion on the first key, but it's not. If God didn't want you seeking the opinion of counselors and advisors, he wouldn't have put in so many verses in the Bible saying just that. For instance, Proverbs 15:22, New Living Translation. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Proverbs 24:6, Classic Amplified. For by wise counsel you can wage your war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. We need to tell you about the kind of person that you don't want to be around. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Classic Amplified. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. You need people around you who can encourage, exhort, edify, build you up, lift you up. Hallelujah. But you also need people who can see your blind spots. One more thing. Don't ask circular questions, the kind that leads you around in circles with no apparent answer. For instance, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Maximize your conversation with your advisors, and always, always let them know how blessed you are with their valuable input.
And number three, prior proper planning precedes positive performance. Have you ever heard that before? If you're on our program, you know you are.
You better give more of what I'd heard and wrote.
That's it. So here, yes, is the whole story. Wow, you ready for it? Prior proper planning precedes positive performance and progress, preventing possible problems, precipitating powerful, practical, precise, philosophical participants with perfect proverbial pontifications possible. Possibly. Yep, that's
it. I love it.
So the question is, are we doing our homework? Are we doing our due diligence? One of the things that truly is happens in the age we are living in today is when you get ready to do something, people just jump right into it. They don't take the time. Oh, I'm too busy. Well, sometimes if we're too busy, then we have cleanup that takes twice as long as if we had looked into it in the first place and knew what we were doing. Think about it. In Luke 14:28, Living Bible, it says, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if he has enough money to pay the bills?" Have you counted the cost? Have you done research? Have you crunched numbers? Have you role-played various scenarios and possibilities on what it is you want to do? Have you done it enough that you know that you are, well, preventing possible problems in the future?
And you can make wise decisions.
And that's the truth of the
matter. That's what this is all about.
Amen.
Number four, use Ben Franklin on your possibilities. Brainstorm and ask as many questions as possible about your situation, problem, or opportunity. When faced with an important decision, Benjamin Franklin would take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the center. On the top left-hand side, he would write reasons for this decision. On the right-hand side, he would write reasons against this decision.
But it doesn't always mean that if you have more reasons, you know, for, you have to look at the different ones, but it allows you to look at possibilities of what could go wrong or what could go right so that you know how to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Then fine. You know.
Well, Franklin would number each reason at the end of the process, would make his decision based on which side of the page has the highest number. And that's what you're saying. It's not necessarily the one with the highest numbers.
That's right.
Sometimes it's what you've written.
That's
right. And the importance of it.
Of helping you think it through.
That's it. So list all the reasons for each decision with an appropriate scripture if you need to be, and if you need be, use verse more than once.
Number 5, don't second guess. How will the decision you make or don't make affect your future? Well, the goals that maybe you've established for 2022. It's almost halfway through the year. We need to be thinking it over. Never allow the enemy to cause you to second guess yourself. The enemy's goal is to create doubt and confusion. He is the enemy of clarity and decisive action.
Yes, he is.
It's also important that we avoid procrastination, because procrastination just puts you further and further up. You know, you have teach us to number our days, Lord, so that we don't put things off that need to be done now. It's even more important that we don't second guess God's direction. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6, Classic Amplified says, "The believer replied, every promise of God proves true. He protects everyone who runs to him for help." So don't second guess him. He might take you to task and show up your lies. Ooh, always monitor your decisions. But once you know that God is in it, that's when you press toward the mark, the prize, and the high calling of what it is that God has called you to do. With his help, you'll do it.
Number 6, 7 things to energize your life once your decision is made. First, eat a healthy breakfast. Second, make decisions early in the day. Third, start with the most difficult task each day. Fourth, manage your time, which means you're managing your life. Fifth, have some fun along the way. Sixth, routinely schedule breaks with some exercise, walking around, for instance. Seventh, roll with the flow when it works for you. Create your own flow when it doesn't. And one more thing, be concerned about what goes on inside your head, more concerned about what goes on inside your head than someone, than what someone does to the outside of your head. Think on those things. Number 7, what is the Holy Spirit revealing to you about your opportunity or problem?
Wow. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths."
Wow.
John 15, verses 4 and 5, Living Bible. "Take care to live in me and let me live in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me." We ought to all stop and think on what that
was. Yes, we should.
"Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing." I love the way that Living Bible tells you. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And we enjoy that in the Message translation of Romans 8:14. It says, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go.
Glory to God.
You know, I had a cross stitch made for me from a good friend years ago, back when they did cross stitching, that said, "What would you do today, tomorrow, if you knew you couldn't fail?" And if we get rid of fear in our lives, there is a lot of stuff we can do, because when God is in it, you know that you will ultimately succeed.
You know, I'd say that's the perfect verse to end with. It's time to be about your business, which is actually his business. Think on these things. Think on these scriptures. And let it give you I love 8:14. We're past time. But I love 8:14, the Message Bible. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. So on this marvelous Monday, go and do.
That's right. For the power and the glory of God.
Absolutely. Go to haroldherring.com and check out all the information there. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.